Live from the KTSW studios in San Marcos, Texas, this is Bobcat Radio.
Good morning, Central Texas sports fans. Welcome to another episode of Bobcat Radio, where the game never stops. I'm your host, Thomas Terry, alongside co-host Audrey Casillas, Luke Fox, Hunter Mancuso, and our producer, Osmara Valles. We're here to make sure that you have a wonderful listening experience for your daily dose of Texas State sports. Before we do anything, though, let's have a live read from our sponsors.
Twin Peaks Restaurant and Sports Bar is a sponsor of this broadcast of Bobcat Radio. Located on the North Brown frontage of I-35 at Guadalupe Street in San Marcos, Twin Peaks has bites, wings, burgers, sandwiches, and more. Info and menu at twinpeaksrestaurant.com. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views.
Thank you, Hunter. And before I do anything else, guys, I think there's a birthday in the room. Hunter, happy birthday, man. I mean, this is a spectacular day for you. Happy birthday. Just want to put that over the airways of Central Texas. So happy birthday, man.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas Terry.
Yes, sir. So today's date is Friday, March 22nd, 2024. And really, this is actually, isn't it the first official week back from spring break?
Correct.
That is true. It is the complete week. It is Friday. A week ago, we got off. So whoop,
whoop. So being that it is Friday, the end of the week, we made it through the first week back. How are we feeling about it? Kind of rejuvenated from break, or are we still tired, or?
I'm ready for them 5 weeks till we get out, till it's finals.
It's 5 weeks?
I think, yes.
Oh, wow. It's like 5 weeks and then finals, I think.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Luke Fox.
Osmara, you have a good spring break?
I did. It was fun. I'm still trying to get back in the rhythm, but we're good.
I did not know that it was 5 weeks. Oh, my goodness. Yep.
Clock's ticking.
Yeah, I got it.
Wake up call.
A lot of stuff to look forward to now. Yeah, thank you. But let's go ahead and hop right into it, starting with Texas State men's basketball. As we all know, the season came to an end, and it wasn't necessarily the greatest season for them. They finished the year going 17-18 and 7-11 in conference play. They made a nice run in the Sun Belt tournament, picking up wins against Old Dominion, Southern Miss, and Troy before falling to JMU, who is, might I add, playing in March Madness currently. So, I mean, this year, kind of underwhelming for Texas State, especially considering the year that they had last year where we thought that they were on the up and up. But any thoughts on this season really thus far?
I mean, hey, look, I think it's pretty sad. I learned just last night that Davion Sykes and Jordan Love, is that correct? They're entering.
No, it's not Jordan Mason. It's Jordan, Brandon Love.
Brandon Love. My bad, y'all.
Thinking about the quarterback.
I'm sorry. Hey. I think it's very sad that they're entering the transfer portal. I mean, they literally pulled up numbers this season and everything. And when you think of Texas State men's basketball, you think of those two in particular. And it's really sad that they're going to not be here next season. But I mean, hey, they're on to bigger and better things. And you know what? You know that you're picking up a good guy if you pick up either one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's a positive approach to think about. A lot of times, Audrey, a lot of Texas State, or not just Texas State, but fans of other schools, when they lose guys to the transfer portal, they just somehow just hate their guts. Like they weren't just cheering for them to do great things. So it's great that you have that positive outlook on everybody. But like you were saying, Jordan Mason, Davion Sykes, and Brandon Love. Those are three key players that we're losing at Texas State.
Yeah, and just mentioning Jordan Mason, he was the most points for the season at 374 points. That makes it at 12.9 points a game. Very impressive average. That's really great.
Can't whistle, sorry.
And then just looking at some other stats that were just very impressive, we have Brandon Love with the most field goals made at 141. We'll see Brandon Love just show up a lot. We have Dylan Dawson at the most 3 points made at 53 3 points. That's a lot of points right there. And then let's just look at these offensive rebounds at Brandon Love once again at 82 offensive rebounds, just really getting in those points. He was really able to just be like the key to that offense of presence for Texas State, and that was just present throughout that season. Looking at back to Jordan Mason with the most steals at 38 steals, and so yeah, just Brandon Love, Jordan Mason, Dylan Dawson, just being really key players for the Texas State team, and with a combination of those three, just to be able to to see some of those leave is going to be very impactful looking into that next season.
Yeah, so hopefully they'll be able to keep Texas State. Dylan Dawson will be able to keep Texas State afloat next year, but it's going to be very hard to reproduce or get back that production that you're talking about that Texas State is losing, Luke, talking about Brandon Love and Jordan Mason. I mean, those are two dominant players. But with the exit, I should say, of Jordan Mason, a player that's going to be able to step up and who actually shined in his freshman year, Caden Gums. This is an amazing opportunity for him to actually showcase the type of ability that he can have running the floor to himself. Now, we know Jordan Mason was kind of like that veteran. He had that veteran aspect, but I'm sure Caden Gums took some time to learn everything that he could about running an offense as a floor general. But I want to ask you guys, what needs to be done to reverse the trend of losing for Texas State basketball, men's basketball? Because like we were talking about last year, they didn't have the greatest season and they didn't necessarily win it all in the conference championship and everything. And this year too, falling short once again with really what was a veteran team. What kind of can be done to reverse that trend?
I say it all the time, and I'm going to repeat myself every single time. I think you have to utilize the players that you have. Like, obviously, you had your starting five all the time. Jordan Mason, Brandon Love, Jordan Nix, Davion Sykes, whoever was on the court that time. But now they're all leaving. Now you got, like, a fresh team upon your hands, and you're going to utilize Caden Gums. You know, he was a starter the whole season, and he had his injury and everything. He wasn't able to go in get in and stuff. But now you're going to really put him to work, to be honest. I mean, you're just going to be like, hey, now not this is necessarily all on you, but this is
step up.
Pretty much you got to step up your game. This is all on you now. Like, this is, quote unquote, your team. So I think it's utilizing all of your players now. Just look at the roster, see who you can work with.
Then again, with all like the star players leaving, that doesn't leave Coach Terrence Johnson high and dry. Like, he has a key for perfection, so he's going to look for specific players to be on his team. So yes. I still have hope for that.
Yeah, like they say, the transfer portal taketh, but it also giveth as well.
For sure.
So it'll be interesting to see what Coach TJ has in store for this team and everything. But another team that I kind of wanted to talk about, they're not currently in play right now, but Texas State football. That's a little bit more positive because we know the type of year that they had, an amazing season, the bowl win and all of that. Well, they started their spring practices and had their first one yesterday. Me and Grace Reddick had a chance to go out there and kind of observe the team a little bit. They weren't doing any contact drills, so it wasn't necessarily that interesting per se to see them just kind of doing walkthroughs. But we had an opportunity to talk to head coach GJ Kinney, and one thing that stuck out to me was that he was just so excited to have a lot of returning players, to have the new coaches on staff and everything, the defensive coordinators, the offensive coordinators, and the wide receivers coach that's a part of this team. I mean, guys, how excited are you for Texas State football this upcoming season?
I think you can't not be excited. You know, you have GJ Kinney coming in his rookie year at Texas State and taking a team that's never been to a bowl game before at all into a bowl game in his first season here. Not only that, but they also won the bowl game. Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't stop there. He goes into the first few months of the offseason and gets the reigning Sun Belt Player of the Year, I believe, and quarterback Jordan McLeod from JMU. I think with all the returning weapons and the new weapons coming in, and you know GJ Kinney's not done yet, you know with still months left into the season or before the season, that he's going to utilize his portal and try to get as much for the Bobcats as he can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I was at that practice for just a little bit, and just to see the energy of those players right now, my expectations and just my hopes for this next season are just through the roof, because just seeing that energy that they have and devotion, even though there's no contact, they're still putting their all like 100% into it, and so it really was inspiring to see, and I think that next season has some really great potential.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the questions that I asked Coach yesterday was, with the new playoff format and everything, did he feel like this team had an opportunity to make a playoff push? And he kind of laughed about it and said, you know, they're just going to take it day by day and everything and just try to get better every day. But a team that is getting better every day as we speak that is currently in season, Texas State softball and baseball. We'll have that for you on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW San Marcos. Welcome back to Bobcat Radio. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Terry, joined alongside Luke Fox, Hunter Mancuso, Audrey Pasillas, and our producer, Osmar Valles. Now, before we went to break, I was kind of teasing at Texas State softball and baseball, but I mean, guys, beating the number 14 ranked Texas A&M Aggies. Yes, sir. There's nothing sweeter than that, seeing the Aggies lose. Just me personally, I don't like the Aggies, but hey, just have to plug that in there. They're 23-7, currently 2-1 in the Young Conference play, and they have won 9 of their last 10 games, guys.
Oh, wow.
I mean, Audrey, you had the opportunity and the privilege to call that game against Texas A&M. Walk us through what you saw.
I definitely did, Thomas. I want to start off by saying how blessed I was to call this remarkable game. I didn't realize how momentous this game was until I began my research on A&M softball, which is bad broadcasting on my part. But that said, I don't know where to begin with Wednesday night's brutal matchup between the Bobcats and Aggies. But if I had to pick one word to describe the game, I would definitely describe it as historical. If you did not tune into the broadcast or not a part of the crowd, let me paint the picture for y'all. So, from the first pitch to the very last, it was an extremely hard-fought game on both sides of the field. Texas State softball was able to come back behind twice from a 4-3 walk-off win over number 14, Texas A&M. The Bobcats trailed the whole game 3-2 up until the sixth inning. Honestly, it happened all pretty fast, and I was in the booth in complete shock and literally forgot I was in the middle of a call. I was just, like, watching as a fan, jaw dropped and everything, but it all started with Megan Kellner singled to right field, followed by Hannah Earls grounding out for one out. And Sarah Trahan punched a free base ticket, which is nothing new there. And monkey see, monkey do, because hot hands Piper Randolph and Sarah Vanderford also earned a free base, allowing Kellner to walk across the plate to tie up that game. And you've heard have no fear, da-da-da is here. We'll have all fear because Carmen Bass is up at the plate. Although Bass reached on base off of an error and Trahan was thrown out at home, smart base running by Randolph literally earned the win right there. So with that win, Texas State softball climbed to number 9 in the RPI.
Mm-hmm. So Bass definitely instills fear in you anytime she steps up to the plate.
Chills.
Definitely.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. Osmara, we were kind of talking about it before the broadcast started this morning, but tell us what you were seeing and what you thought about it.
Well, as a fan, I was really excited to be there against Texas State against A&M. And honestly, towards maybe like the seventh inning, I was like, okay, we're done. Because honestly, that's where they changed the pitcher. And I was a little intimidated. We were like, we're done. It's okay. I've lost hope, but I'm still going to be here. We're not going to leave. Let's see what happens. So,
W fan.
Like, we'll see. And then, fortunately, the pitcher, like, let off many walks for the Bobcats. Like, it was a full, everyone's on base. And then Piper, I believe, yes. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it Piper that was the last one or who ran, correct?
That is correct.
Yes, sorry. And then, yeah, and then number 3, Coco, for the A&M, she was outstanding. She was crazy. And then when Vanderford batted, like, that one ball, and, like, I thought it was out. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, okay, that's another win for us. Nope, she caught that. That was crazy. It was really good, really good. And then what else? Honestly, I was just really glad to be there. It was really good. The atmosphere was amazing.
It was just to be there.
It was really, really good.
Probably a sellout performance, really, inside of Bobcat softball park. Ballpark, that's a mouthful, but I really wish I could have been there. I had to work, but I really wish I could have been there. But I did hear you, Audrey, and David Castaneda on the call, and y'all did an amazing job. But Luke, this team is ranked now, as of this morning, number 10 in the RPI rankings. So kind of talk us into how they are ranked that high. What kind of metrics are going into that?
Yeah. Well, just looking at this game was just a game of comeback. And it was just a A&M would take the lead, Texas State would come back, A&M take the lead, and then it just ended up strong for Texas State. And so there's a lot of stats. Just looking at just how they're able to maintain pressure throughout a game and to be able to, like, not give away just easy free points for the other teams. Mm-hmm. Just looking at just looking at Jessica Mullins, 7 strikeouts in that game, just took out players at the most crucial moments just to be able to really limit those points. Texas State is just really able to minimize their mistakes. They don't, whenever they have mistakes, they're able to bounce back and really rebound. Looking at A&M, they just really fell apart in that seventh inning. Mm-hmm. And that was just a really key defining point. Just Vanderford and Bass with each two base hits, Vanderford and Zarate with RBI, just really key. And they're able to also get those stolen bases. Trahan with two stolen bases. They had a double stolen bases mm-hmm. midway through that game with Piper Randolph right there. Mm-hmm. And so they're just really able to have a really well-balanced team. Every player is holding up their weight, and they're just able to really keep it strong. And with that, this game, even though it was a close game, I think that Texas State really had it. And so even though A&M may have slipped a little bit coming towards that end of the game, they were really able to really have control of that game no matter what.
And I also like to add on about Jessica Mullins. Like earlier, we've got an interview with Woodard or Ricky Woodard, right? Correct?
Yeah.
We asked her if there was going to, if Jessica was starting as a pitcher, and she kind of teased us saying like, well, I'm just going to play around. And I'm like, no way she's not starting Jessica against A&M. And of course she was started and she played wonderful as always, but that is all that I wanted to add on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know the prowess that Jessica Mullins plays with, and mm-hmm. is it that her, where she has her signature, like,
yes.
where
she points yes. back to the dugout. Yeah, go back to the dugout.
That is such mm-hmm. an amazing, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go on the Texas State softball page and there's a picture of her doing the pose. What I'm talking mm-hmm. about, where she's pointing them back to the dugout, like, yep. go back where you came from and everything.
Sit back down, wait your turn for yeah, another rotation.
Yeah, absolutely.
My hand just stands up every time I see it. It's like, oh my, okay.
Yeah, but Osmar, really, I think yeah. what Coach Woodard was talking about, because not only I talk about it all the time, and we're going to have to get her on for an interview one day.
Yes.
But Madison Nzua, I think that's a game where mm-hmm. she could have performed well as well, because really, I've never seen a freshman pitcher do what she's doing, mm-hmm. honestly. Never seen a freshman pitcher do what she's doing. And she looks like a mini Jessica Mullins mm-hmm. out there, really. And then just going back and thinking about this game, she only gave up 6 hits to a number 14 team yeah. in Texas A&M. She forced 3 errors on A&M's part. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And for Texas State to only have 1 error of their own. Hunter, for people that don't know out there, can you explain what an error is, just so they are flying blind?
It's when a routine play is made and it's messed up on. So like, and when an average player would have made a said play, or like a ground ball between the legs, that's an error. When an outfielder drops a ball in the outfield that they could have caught, that's an error.
So we were talking about fear being instilled in some of these players that Texas State is playing. Not only Bass, but the entire defense, when you're being scared into or out of making routine plays, That's the fear factor that you want going into different types of games and everything. But Osmar, can you tell us what's coming up next for Texas State softball and who they might have next on the schedule?
Of course. So the next matchup for the Bobcats is going to be against the Appalachian State Mountaineers this weekend. They're ranked number 1 in the SBC standings, but that's because they're 3-0 conference, and the Bobcats are 2-1. Overall, the Mountaineers are 15-10, and the Bobcats are 23-7. The Mountaineers are coming back after winning against Georgia State just this past weekend. They're playing at the Bobcat Softball Stadium all weekend, starting at 6 p.m. tonight. It's also going to be Alumni Weekend. They'll be celebrating their 40th anniversary of Bobcat Softball.
That is amazing. So, guys, if you have the opportunity, go out there and support your Bobcats. I mean, they're ranked number 10 right now mm-hmm. in the FPI. I keep saying FPI. RPI rankings. And for RPI rankings, that just talks about really the strength of opponents that you're playing and your wins and losses. So to be top 10 in the nation, along the likes of Texas and Oklahoma, Clemson, Florida State, and all of that, that means you're doing something right. So I'm really excited for this team to see everything that they have coming in store. But Hunter, I know this is what you've been waiting on. Texas State baseball, man. I mean, I know, the game was Tuesday night, but I just have to. I'm sorry, I have to cover this again, really. What you saw, because you were there calling it with Clint Shields.
That was actually Kobe Jackson calling it Tuesday night. Mm-hmm.
But weren't you, I thought I saw you.
I was in the stands.
You were, okay, that's right. Okay. I don't know why I thought you were calling it. My apologies.
Sneak peek into a few weeks from now.
Yeah. Ooh. I might be foretelling something.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, definitely so. But I mean, as a fan, like Osmar gave her point of view, tell us what you saw as a fan in that game.
A slugfest on both sides of the ball, Thomas. I mean, even from the first inning, we already knew it was going to be a fun and exciting game, this I-35 rivalry we got going on with UTSA. But from the get-go, UTSA dropped 4 in their first half of the first inning. And then Texas State said, we're going to not only double that, but add on more. And they dropped 9 runs in the first inning, 4 of which coming from Daylan Pena's grand slam. And I don't know if y'all have watched the baseball team this year, but when Daylan Pena's hot, it seems the whole team is hot.
Yeah.
This was, I believe, the
12th or 13th game this season already where the Bobcats have put up double-digit runs in baseball games, and that's just – we're like 20-something games deep. So to have like almost dang near half of those go on to double digits, it's the Bobcats' bats, when they're hot, they're hot.
Absolutely. And I mean, not just one, but two grand slams.
Two grand slams. By the same player, Daylan Pena.
In the same game. That's the first time in Bobcat history that something like that has been done. I mean, it's really amazing how in baseball, one player's bat can translate to another, especially since it's not like basketball where you're actually, you know, it's not like per se the most teamy of team sports where you're passing the ball or you have to rely on each other like that. It's an individual affair that works together and it changes together. So it's amazing how that phenomenon kind of works out with Daylan Pena and all of that. But what I saw too, UTSA's pitching, they pulled their starter a little early. I think he hadn't even gave up any runs yet in that game. And bear with me, I have to make sure I fact check myself and get the stats. But
he had given up three runs by the time he was pulled.
Was it because they were on base? Were they his fault or...
I'm not sure. Because I'd have to take me back to the game day to remember that. But he did get pulled without recording a single out in the first inning and gave up three earned runs.
And then one of the other guys that came in relief, he didn't do any better. I mean, I hate to say it, but the relief pitcher that came in there, he gave up, I believe, six earned runs.
Another six. And he only gave up. He only got one out of that inning.
Yeah. So that was definitely a tough matchup for UTSA. And I happened to be there reporting there. I can't say as a fan because, you know, got to be unbiased and everything here. But just observing the atmosphere, I was walking around the ballpark and the trash talk that was being said to the opposing side and everything that was going on, especially with it being Greek night, the fans were rowdy. They were definitely, definitely rowdy in that one. But Osmara, with this Texas State baseball team, you probably, I don't know if you were at that game yourself, but comparing it to other games that you've seen, what do you see in the future in store for Texas State baseball?
Honestly, there's a lot of potential because I was producing that game. Unfortunately, we couldn't get on air until like mid-second inning because we had technical difficulties and we were really upset that everything happened in the first inning. But like overall, I do agree with Hunter. It was a slugfest. Like, what was going on? It was just back and forth. And you could, like, again, what you said, Thomas, about the atmosphere, I could hear it through the crowd mic. I keep telling Kobe and Clint, hey, turn it down. And because it was just so loud. But, like, overall, I think it's just looking good for the Bobcats. And honestly, I think this is, like, a good game for them to test, like, where they're at right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Luke.
Yeah, so Texas State got 9 points in that first inning, 5 points in that third inning. But it kind of looks like they slowed down a little bit going in that later half of the game. And it almost came back with UTSA coming back to take that win from Texas State, even though they had a very strong start. Mm-hmm. So what do you think happened that they were going super strong, and then it's just a 0-0-0-0-0 for those later innings?
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Hunter, because there were so many pitching changes, but you face a batter more than once as a pitcher, you kind of know, and I guess it works the opposite way too, you kind of understand what's coming. So the advantage kind of goes to the pitcher because you see how aggressive the hitter is going to be. And you kind of see the area of the strike zone of where they're trying to hit it and everything. So
yeah, on a regular game where like it would, that more so applies to a game where the same pitcher goes multiple innings and he's seeing the lineup multiple times. There were so many pitchers across the board for both teams. So I'm not sure if that concept really applies here in this game, but typically, yes, Thomas, when a pitcher goes through the lineup multiple times, by the second or third time around the lineup, these guys have kind of already figured out how this guy's breaking ball breaks, how his fastball looks out of his hand, you know? So it's just kind of one of those things, but
maybe could it be the fact that even if it was different pitchers, being under the same pitching coach, that he's saying, hey, watch this guy, he's looking for this, or hey, he's looking for this pitch, sitting off for this pitch, looking for that. And especially for a team that hits so many red dead balls like Texas State, you got to know not to challenge them with the fastball.
That, and I believe it was kind of more of a comfortability factor. Oh, we're already up so big. And then if you look across the scoreboard, the team who was chasing the whole game, UTSA, is putting up runs here, runs there, kind of like clawing their way back. You know, Texas State's pitching staff hasn't been the strongest this year as it has been in prior years, but the offense did put up enough runs in the first three innings to hold it down the whole game.
Now, let me ask you guys, how scared were you in the eighth and ninth innings when UTSA started to score a little bit more runs? starters. I think they scored 2 in the 8th mm-hmm. and 2 in the 9th. Mm-hmm. Were you guys a little scared when they were starting to come back?
I was a little nervous, low key.
Just added to the suspense factor of the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Audrey?
It was, I was there for 4 hours. The game started at 6. It did not end till like 10. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mm-hmm. being there late at night, like, there's no other word to describe it other than electrifying. It was just like, bro, you got K-Demp in the stands. You got like the student section riled up and everything. You're just like, okay, it literally can go either mm-hmm. way. And both UTSA fans and Texas State fans were like going at it the whole game. But to answer your question, Thomas, it was just like undescribable. That's the best way I can put it, to yeah, be honest with you.
Really, just you would have to have seen it for your own eyes to understand for sure. just
literally
how monumental this game was. But something that interested me, too, and it really caught me off guard, Matthew Tippie, now we know they're in college, or at least for Texas State, there aren't really too many defined roles when it comes to relief pitching. You don't necessarily have a designated setup pitcher, a designated closer and everything. But Matthew Tippie had been closing games for Texas State for the season thus far. How surprised were you, really, Hunter, how surprised were you to see Matthew get hit as hard as he did during that 9th inning?
Pitchers have off days, you know, and obviously you can't be on your A game every time. So just because you see Tippie walking out of the bullpen doesn't mean, oh, it's a shutdown appearance coming out. So being consistent all season. So he didn't blow the game. We still held on and finished strong. So I don't think he's going to lose too much sleep over just a few runs given up.
Yeah, definitely. And then just really the team aspect of it with baseball. Otto Wofford was right there to pick him up and garner the save and close out, which the way that it happened too. I believe it was a hit down in between the second and third baseline and everything. And for the third baseman, Aaron Lugo, to beat out the runner to third mm-hmm. to win the game, and just hearing all 1,960 fans erupt in the stadium. Yes, 1,960 fans erupt. It was an amazing, amazing experience. But it was kind of cold that night. I'm not going to forget that. Luke, do you kind of have some weather outlook for us this weekend to tell us how or tell the softball fans how they need to dress for the games coming up?
Yeah, absolutely. Just looking at today right now, it's currently 65 degrees outside, and it's just going to keep warming up until the mid-70s, where it's going to go like that for the rest of the day. But just looking at this week, we're going to get some rain, and it's going to do a little bit of storming, especially on Monday and Wednesday. We're looking at like 60%. And so it's going to be a little crazy for if there's any games those days. But looking at just in terms of temperature, it's going to be little low 50s and then high 70s. So I think that's pretty great weather for a baseball or softball game. So I think it's going to be overall pretty good weather other than a little bit of rain for this week.
Absolutely. I mean, it rained hard last night too, guys.
Definitely. Last night?
Yeah, it did last night.
I knocked out. I'm not going
to
lie.
It helped you go to sleep. That's how great it was.
It was my ASMR for the night. That's what put me to bed.
Definitely so. But guys, that concludes this morning's episode of Bobcat Radio. If you enjoyed this broadcast and never want to skip a beat, make sure to keep up with us by following us at KTSW Sports on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Threads, all of that. You name it, we're there. Be sure to listen and or watch. Follow Texas State Athletics in their respective upcoming matchups. So, guys, from Audrey Pasillas, Osmar Valles, Luke Fox, and Hunter Mancuso, by the way, happy birthday, Hunter. I'm Thomas Terry, wishing you a fantastic Friday. Now let's get you back to the other side of radio.